The following program is rated M16+. Parental guidance recommended.
Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in to DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show where I get to have a chat to comical people. And today I have comedian Ash Woodward.
Woo, thanks for having me on, Yvonne. Good to be here.
Hello, and thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Hey, so we're going to get straight into this.
Yes.
I'd love to know more about your comedy journey.
Yep.
How did you start?
One of my best friends, Blumfield, he's a rapper, and he was like, he's a really big comedy fan. He showed me the I first saw comedy at his house. It was the I can't remember what it was, but yeah. So he was like, I've got like weird social commentary, and he was like, you need to say this on stage. You need to do comedy, and I was always like, I will, just to get him off my back. I was like, yeah, sure. And then he made me shake his hand, and then we were at like a festival, and he was like, shake my hand and promise me to do comedy this year. And I was like, okay. And I was like, there was no turning back. So I was like, yeah. So that's how I did it, really. So it was just like a handshake. He wanted me to do it and I did it. So it was a weird, a lot of people were like, oh, I love comedy and I wanted to, but mine was like, it was just like, I had to get it off my back. Yeah. So I just thought it'd be like a one-off, and that was like 2015. Yeah. So a while. So I've been in and out kind of like
6 years.
Yeah. So it was just that, and it went well. So I was like, I'll come back kind of thing. So I was lucky to have a friend who was like, you know, believed in me and saw something in me to do that kind of thing. Cause I think I would have been one of those people who did it way later in life. I think I was just turned 27. So it was kind of like, I was just like, oh yeah, sure, man. And it went so fun. The high after it was like such a rush. I was like, this is crazy. And yeah, it was very addictive. So I was like, I'm glad he signed me up, because without that, I don't know what happened.
I like that, Ash, that, you know, sometimes we do need to step into that zone of being committed to someone else.
Yep.
And it pushes us in to go forward, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's like, like I said, he loves his stand-up comedy. So he just was like, oh, you'd be a good comic kind of thing. So I was like, oh, cool, man. So I signed up for Shapiro's, and mm-hmm. then I just like, I didn't even write my set. I just kind of sent an email and they were like, yeah, 6 weeks. I was like, okay. So I wrote a set, and my friends came down, and my friend Craig was like, do you have punchlines? I was like, what's punchlines? It was really weird. So it was just like, I just went on stage and like ranted kind of thing. It was like, I was just, it was pretty weird. I got a video of it, and it was just like, it was like everything I didn't like. It was just weird. And I used to be like, I'd end everything with, I've had enough. Ash has had enough. It was really weird. It was like this kind of, it went well though. People were just like, this guy's crazy. And so I just kind of like, I didn't know what I was doing. But I just kind of winged it and it went well. So I was really happy. And I was like, it was very fulfilling. It's this great comedy scene in Perth. So I was happy to join.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting what you're saying. A lot of people, when they first stand up, they don't actually know what they're doing.
No.
They get up there, and I admire it. Yep. The amount of people that have come through and gone, I've just signed up for Raw.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people, Raw was their first gig. Like, I know Lucy Ewing, I think she was. Yeah, I think a lot of people just do Raw, which is crazy. So I was lucky to kind of, and especially, obviously, Shapiro's is a great venue. So I was if I did it somewhere else, I might have bombed hard and maybe never done it again. So it was like, everything synced up really well. Like, I'm thankful, because my second set didn't go as well. I was a bit cocky. So I was like, it was really good. And it was like kind of a nurturing environment. We're really lucky and everyone was like supportive. I remember this guy was like, looks like we'll be seeing you again then. I was like, I guess so. I'm in the scene now kind of thing. So I was so thankful and just, winged it. So it was just like a bit of luck. And his belief kind of got me there. So I'm glad. I've had so many good times. Probably the best times of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you know, if you said that you did write a set in that 6 weeks.
Yeah.
What's your creative process been like?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not like a motivated person. You know what I mean? Like, some people, they're just like, oh, they're there with the books at every show, and they've got like notepads, and they really live comedy. And so mine was like a lot of... honestly, it would pop into my head and I'd write it down kind of thing. So there wasn't like, I've never really been too driven. So it was just kind of like, I was really lucky that I have like a bit of a creative brain, and then it would just kind of like come in my head and I was like, oh, cool, I'll write that down. So I've been very, very fortunate to not, to coast in a way, which isn't great coasting, but just kind of like, just quite lucky to have these thoughts or like a catchy thing. And I'll write that down. And I was lucky that it went well, because my creative process has just been very spontaneous kind of thing. Just ADD brain. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that could be funny. So I was just really lucky to kind of just always have, like, my mind's always thinking of stuff and stuff like that. So it was really lucky. And like I said, I'd never watched comedy. Oh, it was Eddie Murphy. Yeah, I saw Eddie Murphy at his house in 2006, Blumfield. So that was like the first time I ever watched comedy. So I just. But I like WWE, pro wrestling. So that was like my...
What did you say?
WWE. Do you ever watch pro wrestling?
Yeah, but I'm sure it was
WWF and WCW.
Yes.
Yeah. So in 2001, they bought WCW and became WWE. But pro wrestling is like stand-up comedy because it's kind of like, yeah, it's very, very similar, actually. So my inspiration was like, you know, The Rock, obviously. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I love The Rock and Chris Jericho. So I just love wrestling. So I was like, oh, so that was my inspiration for comedy, was just like, because they do like, you know, they're talking on the microphone. It's kind of funny. Yeah. So that was my big inspiration, was just pro wrestling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And The Rock actually puts out some really positive inspirational stuff as well.
He's a superstar. He's like, absolutely. And it's funny because like you get those celebrities and they have like these bad backstories when, you know, you find out, but he's pretty pure. Like he's kind of like a good man, good heart. And he's like a third generation, like his granddad was a pro wrestler and his dad was a pro wrestler. So yeah, so he was like a big inspiration. So yeah, so I'm a big fan of wrestling and I've watched it for 22 years every week. Gosh. Yeah, like I absolutely like die hard. So that was my inspiration, was just like wrestlers, what they say in the microphone kind of came out. And there's like this guy called the Road Dog.
Yeah.
And he used to do like raps. So he was like my inspiration, like as a youngster. So it was just all wrestling orientated kind of thing. So it's a different outlook, different perspective.
I think you're a bit younger than me. So we grew up watching wrestling.
Yes.
And my sister had the Junkyard Dogs t-shirt.
J-Y-D. Oh, wow. Yes. Cool. That's awesome.
And I used to have Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yes. The glory days. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, you know, back in your 80s. Yes. And I was so proud of my t-shirt.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was like the glory days. Absolutely. Wow. Junkyard Dog t-shirt. That's like, do you remember where she bought it? Because the internet wasn't probably around. So I guess it's like t-shirt shops.
My parents got it for us.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. They were such big fans. We were such big fans.
Your parents liked it as well, kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And then when I got my first sort of job, I ended up paying for us all to go and watch it. And I think it was at the Entertainment Center in the 90s.
Can you remember who was it? Because was it WCW or WWA maybe? Like there was one in 2001.
Jeff Jarrett. Earlier than that.
Wow. So that would have been like the 90s.
Yeah,
wow.
It was the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And it came to Entertainment Center.
Yeah, it was at the Entertainment Center. And I just remember watching and I lost my love of it.
Oh, really? It was like, oh, I've had enough kind of thing? Like,
well, I was like, oh, this is really fake.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was like, I thought it was, because I started watching in 99, so I was 10 turning 11.
Yeah.
And then my parents were like, oh, this is like, cause I remember watching it. You know when like there's a guy holding them back and they'll duck and hit the other guy? My parents were like, he's going to hit the other guy. And I was like, how do they know? So I kind of like, I thought that it wasn't quite legitimate, but I didn't want to believe it. You know what I mean? And then I just... yeah, but then after a few months, I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't like real fighting. You know what I mean? Like these guys aren't trying to kill each other. But then I just like, I think about pro wrestling is it's like there's so many different art forms rolled into one. You got like acting, physical theater, drama. There's like soap opera. It's like, it's like the ultimate form of entertainment. So I've just like, I got all my everything from pro wrestling. It's like sport as well. So that was just like, it just satisfied me in everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. The bold and the beautiful were mixed into it because, you know, I don't know if you remember Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
dress.
And she was Randy Savage as well. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I wish I was watching back then. They were probably like the golden years. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just like, it's just, they call it soap opera for males and stuff like that. Like there's so many weird things, but yeah, I just love it. It's like a storytelling and a physical theater. So it's just always been like, but yeah, like it when I, you know, in the late 90s, it had like a comeback, like Austin and The Rock.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I just like, they dropped off in 2001 too, but I just love the art form. So I've never stopped. So I've just like 22 years. I just hit my 22nd anniversary and I've never lost love, never taken a week off. Like I watch
it every week. Have you ever done it yourself? Because it is a group here that does it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. EPW. Yeah. I trained with them. That was my first.
No way.
Yeah. That was because as a teenager, they used to have, they still have shows actually. And I used to go every month as a teenager.
Yeah.
So the wrestling scene in Perth is awesome. And
it is. I've seen them at fairs and festivals, and I can't help but watch because it still is like this inner child thing.
Mesmerizing.
To me. I go, wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's like stuntmen as well, isn't it? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a group called EPW. So as a teenager, my friend, we used to go to every show. We were like really big fans, and I was always like, I will wrestle for them one day, and that's all I saw myself doing. So in about 9 years ago, I went to train with them in Maddington, which is where the EPW training place is. And I wasn't very good. It's really intense because you have to learn how to break fall, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm like a pretty unathletic kind of, you know what I mean? So I was like, but yeah, that's all I wanted to do was wrestle. And then that was all I thought I would do. So then after that, I was like, what am I going to do? I hung around for a while and I'd kind of just, help them out kind of thing. I didn't do much, just like, you know, so I've seen the business from the inside, but yeah, I just love it so much. And that was the only thing I thought I would do was wrestling. And it was very like, I've got pictures from my time. I've got like bruising on my arm. It's very, very like, it's like you have to break fall and it's so intense.
Yeah.
So I did it for about 2 months, 2 or 3 months. And then I was like, I'm never going to be able to do this. You know what I mean? I was like, dude, like, I'm not, like, I want to, but I just can't. It's so intense. And you have to have like a crazy work ethic. And it's just so physically demanding. Like, I've got friends who do it. And they're just, you know, they're banged up all the time. Because it's like, yeah, they hurt, you hurt your back and stuff. So
yeah,
that was my first goal. And then I trained and I was like, ah, I can't. I'm not going to be good enough to do this, basically. It's so intense. And just, it takes about 2 or 3 years to kind of make it onto the roster of training. So it's very, very, like, very hard. And I was like, ah, oh, I'm not tough enough for this. Maybe
well,
she's something else.
I'm giving it a go, but I like one of the things in our journey is that when we do try something and mm-hmm. if we realize it's just not the right scope, at least we've entered into that, and then we can, you know, redirect our attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I always knew I was like, oh, you know, like, because my friend, one of my best friends from school, I went to train with him. He's a wrestler now. He's called Dizzy Vidal. So I joined him, and I was like, oh, you know. So he's been training. He's trained for like 8 years. So it's so physically demanding, and yeah, I was just like, I can't do this. You got to like learn to like flip bump and everything. And I was never like a great athlete. So even though, I mean, that was the only thing I thought I'd do. Like, as a teenager, I was like, I'll wrestle for EPW, and I'll, that was all I saw myself doing for like my 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And then, yeah, I tried it out. Even though I knew I'd probably struggle, I was like, at least I tried. So, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so I had a great time, but it was just, so physically demanding. And I'm not, you're always banged up, basically. Like, you're always banged up. So I'm just like, I don't have the mental, physical toughness to do that. It's a lazy boy.
It's all good. It's all performing, but so it's very interesting.
Absolutely. I guess deep down I wanted to be a performer, but I didn't know, you know what I mean? But I just always saw myself, and I had like an idea of the wrestler character I'd be and stuff like that. So I had all my gimmick worked out, but obviously the meat and potatoes is like learning how to wrestle, and there's so much psychology, you know what I mean? And it's like, you have to go off the fans, like you have to kind of go off their reaction, their energy. And a lot of the match is called in the ring. So people just think they have like, they spend like hours beforehand planning everything out, but a lot of it is kind of depending on the crowd noise. It's kind of crowd psychology, basically. So it's very, very similar to comedy in a way, kind of thing. Like,
that's an amazing insight, actually. And learning that, I'm sure that served you in comedy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess because and that's the thing about wrestling as well. Like, you can have a great set, but then if they aren't feeling it in comedy, I guess you have to change things up a little bit, kind of thing. So same as wrestling. So it's very, like, it's very, I think they're so similar, pro wrestling and comedy. They just kind of, it's just, and you have to connect with the crowd as well. You know what I mean? You have to be someone that they're invested in. So you can't be, like, there's some people who are great in the ring, but then in terms of charisma and personality, they don't really have much. So you have to be, like, really well-rounded. So it's so hard, but I'm still such a big fan. And, Maybe I'll try again someday. You know what I mean? I doubt it. I want to, though, kind of thing, yeah.
Oh, why not? You know, the comeback of Ash.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'd love to do it. And I have a bit of experience as performing now, so I kind of be better, I think. But yeah, it's just, it's captivating for me, you know what I mean? It's such a beautiful art form. And then with wrestlers, they'll have, like, you know, characters, and they'll be a bad guy, good guy, and stuff like that. And they have, like, storylines. I was like, man, this is awesome. So that was what I wanted to do and what I thought I'd do, yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd get anywhere, not in American wrestling, but I would have been happy just wrestling in Perth for the rest of my life, kind of thing. And that's what I thought I'd do. But there, like I said, even just break falling, you have to like, you have, because the mat isn't really, it's not too bouncy. You have to really, it's unforgiving physically. So you have to really, you know, body slams, it's so intense. So I was just like, you live in pain, kind of thing. It's like people literally give their body for their art form. Yeah, it's crazy. And then it sucks for people like, oh, it's fake. But it's like, dude, these guys are like a physical theater stuntman kind of thing. So I just love it so much. And I wish I could have done it. But I did some other things, which is cool, you know.
Yeah, you've done quite a lot of things.
Yeah, I've had some good times. It was like a plan B kind of thing. So I was lucky that Blunt Field was like, dude, you need to do comedy, and then it kind of put me in that direction, sort of thing. So yeah, it's been like crazy, you know what I mean? It's been like been a crazy journey, kind of thing. Yeah.
So Ash, what's been one of your biggest I guess, what should we reflect on here? What's been one of your biggest bombs then? And in reflection to that, have you grown in it?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest bomb was like the first time I did a good show, which was the at the Comedy Lounge. I did Six in the City.
Yeah.
And I was so stoked to get the spot. I was like, man, this is like my first decent booking. And I'd been at the Raw show, and I was DJing for my friends. So I was drinking all day. And I just, so this is like my first kind of pro spot. And I turned up, and I was paralytic, you know what I mean? And I don't drink that much, but I was like, oh, I just, like, it was a long day in the sun. I was just drinking. And then it was just, I was blacked out. I can't remember anything. I was like, oh my God, they finally, the bookers had faith in me to do like a pro spot. And yeah, I just wasted it kind of thing. So I was like, oh, so I learned from that, like, don't obviously like get bladdered before you should go on stage and just kind of take things seriously. So yeah, it was horrible. I remember just like afterwards, I was like, I can't remember what happened, but I remember it was really bad. You know what I mean? I had to like message the booker. I was like, I'm so sorry, dude. Like, you have such faith in me. And I hadn't really you know, it was kind of like he had a lot of faith in me basically. And I was like, oh man. So I still feel bad about it. It was like a couple of years ago now. And I was like, oh, it was just a bad bomb. So I kind of learned from that. And now I'm way more professional. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of, I take things seriously, but it was a hard way to learn because I just felt, I let the booker down. I let the crowd down as well, let myself down. So I was like, oh, so after that, I've always been very, I just take it serious. I don't pre-drink or anything. I have a couple, but I cut myself off and I just take it like, I was like, it was like I was going to a party, something like that. Like, I was just, yeah, I can't remember it. So after that, I was like, the feeling was horrible. And I was just like, I never want to do that again. So that was like the worst bomb. And I was like, oh yeah. But I've definitely learned from that and kind of, I'll never do it again.
Hey, Ash, you mentioned DJing. Is that something that you do on a regular basis as well?
A little bit. Sometimes it's just kind of, it was more basic. Like, I wish I could do like the cool turntable scratches. I can't do any of that. It was just very, basic DJing kind of thing. But I'd love to learn because like my friend's a turntablist and you know, the cool scratching and stuff like that. But it's just kind of like, it was just for my friend who's a rapper. I did DJing from him. But yeah, it was just like a day of drinking and then a big bomb for my first kind of pro show. So I was like, oh, this is like a disaster. So I definitely think I've grown since then and kind of way more wiser, you know what I mean? Like, it's hopefully anyway. I don't know.
So 2019, that's when you were in Australia's Got Talent, is that correct?
Yeah. It's going to be 2 years next month, I think. That's
I know. It throws you because of, you know, the COVID lockdown.
Yeah, it's like last year didn't even happen, you know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like it's like 2019, 2021. Like, there was like you know what I mean? Like, there was a year in between and what happened. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, so there was years ago.
Tell us a bit about that journey.
Well, that was really funny. So one of them was they had an advert on like, I can't remember, I think it was like on the Facebook page. It was like, Australia's Got Talent. I was like, oh yeah, cool. So I sent them a clip. And then on Messenger, Facebook Messenger, I was like, hey man, I'd love to do the show. And then they replied and like, oh, okay, well, you can't apply for it via Messenger, but this is a cool act. I'll give you a scouting code, apply online. I was like, oh yeah. So I left it to like the last day before entries closed. And I was like, yeah, but you know, that's how I am. And then I applied online. And then the morning after I got a call, and it was like from the guy who runs it basically. And he was like, you know, we'll give you an audition for Australia's Got Talent. I was like, oh, cool. So I was like, yeah, whatever. So that was it. I just had an audition and then I got an email. They were like, do you want to come to Sydney to do the show? I was like, yeah, cool. So that was it really. I just kind of applied online and then, yeah, next thing I know I was there. It was like within a few months, everything happened so fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then I was like, oh, so then I went to Sydney and it was in the Big Top in Lunar Theatre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, so I think there was a lot of people. Like, yeah, there was a lot of people. I can't, it was awesome. It was so crazy. Yeah, I think it was like 1,200. I was like, wow. And then it was a great experience. Like a week before they emailed me and they're like, these are the judges. And it was like the Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls and Manu, the chef. I was like, and then Kenny, the toilet cleaner, Shane, I don't remember his name. But yeah, so I was like, oh, this is so weird. So yeah, like I wasn't prepared as usual. And I was like, just had a good time. But it was crazy because it was a great time. What happens is, it was funny because Fremantle Media, they did the show. And when I got there, they were like, it's the Cat Daddy. This lady was like, oh, your song's always in my head. And then this guy was like, more like singing it in the office all the time. I was like, that's hilarious. Like, these corporates are like, ah, meow, meow, meow. You know what I mean? I was like, I just wrote it, whatever. So I was like, this is like, so they'd kind of, they were like, oh, this song is catchy, whatever. So I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. So it was really surreal. Like, obviously it's reality TV. So they kind of, everything is like smoke and mirrors. It's a bit like hammed up, whatever. And they wanted me to like walk on stage, like somber, and then burst out kind of thing. So it's like a bit of a swerve, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's like, whoa. But it was crazy. But it was so fun because like I'd never really performed to that kind of crowd before. So it was like this rush. I was like, whoa. Like, it's like a delayed wall of sound. I was like, oh man. And then the worst thing was like I got buzzed off. But then just before that, I could see in the crowd people waving along.
Aww.
Yeah. So I was
that's
like, man.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is like so cool. And I even laughed because I saw it. And then I remember, like, eh. But the thing is, because I'm so unprepared, I didn't know you can get buzzed off. I didn't know anything. I'd never even watched the show. So if I knew that, I would do so much things differently. But I just like when the music stopped playing, I was like, what's going on? Like, why did you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea. So I definitely, it was a case of just winging it, and it kind of came back to haunt me because I could have been way more prepared and done something different. Oh, but it was just like, yeah. But I had a great time though, which is the main thing. And I got a free trip to Sydney, a nice hotel, and yeah, it was weird. It's funny because I don't really like the Pussycat Dolls, but then Nicole Scherzinger, she has a song with Timbaland called Scream.
Yeah.
So I like that song. And then like when I did the show, I found out that she was in that song. I was like, that's a banger. You know what I mean? I was like, she's in that Timbaland song. Like, so yeah, so it was really weird. Like, it was a good time, but, yeah, I wish I took it seriously. Like, I just don't take anything seriously. You know what I mean? Which is probably a downfall as well. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. And then, yeah, but it was really cool. And I got to go in the Sunday Times. So my parents, they're like kind of, they're a bit older. And they're like, they read the Sunday Times. They're a bit far right. So they were like, oh, we just saw you in the paper, son.
Aww, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's really cool.
So it was really good. But yeah, it was a crazy experience. I just wish I'd researched and had, yeah, just didn't kind of, yeah. But it was like, what a cool spot. And people still mention it. And I'm like, yeah, dude. So it's
pretty cool.
Absolutely. I never thought that I'd get to do that. So it's life has always been a bit unexpected. So
how did you come up with the concept of Cat Daddy?
It came in my head. Yeah, it's so weird. So when I was living with one of my best friends, Bluntfield, he had some friends coming around. And then he was like, oh, dude, can you put on some background music? And I put on these beats. It was like the instrumental beats. And then it was like, what it was? It was like samples of songs. And then there was this song and it was like, new, 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 new. And I just remember going, like in my head, it just went, my head was like, I'm the cat daddy, meow, meow, meow. That's funny. And then I had to track down the beat. So it was really like, again, like obviously there wasn't much thought process, but it was very spontaneous. And then, I never thought I'd do it. I was like, I'll never do this. I don't know if they'll like it. And then I went to Fremantle Comedy Factory once and Tor, she's very supportive. She's a great comedian, she's great awesome. Booker. And I go to the gym a bit. I take pre-workout sometimes. And I had too much pre-workout, too much caffeine. I was really jittery. And I said, Tor, I'm a bit anxious. Can I just do a song? And she was like, go for it. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, she's just so supportive. I did it and it went really well. People are like singing. And I was like, what is going on? This is like surreal. Like, I thought it would bomb or just get like polite rapport, and then I just move on with my life and go back to doing comedy. And then I remember like Colin Ebsworth, he filmed it, and then people are all singing along. I was like, what is this? So I remember going home and being like, oh, I think I have something with this, maybe, you know what I mean? Like they actually reacted. So it was absolutely like a one-time thing, and it just kind of spun from there. And and then I did it at the Raw Comedy and I got into the finals. I was like, this is surreal. So it was just like a brain fart. You know what I mean? It was very spontaneous, and I just kind of rolled with it and milked it really. And I got to do like some great shows, pro shows as well. So I was like, this is just kind of like an accident kind of thing that was just, but I've just been lucky. Like I said, very not too motivated, but like my brain's always on and just feeds me things. So I'm like, thank you, brain. You know what I mean? Like, like I can't really take credit for it. You know what I mean? So it's like kind of imposter syndrome. Yeah.
It kind of is you, but.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I am my brain, or is my brain me? You know what I mean? But yeah, it's just been crazy. And then I got to do a lot of clean comedy shows at Lounge. So I was like, sat backstage with some really good talent. And I was like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? It was like Aaron Chen. I'm just like sat backstage with him. I'm like, this guy's a prodigy. And I'm just like, yo, Cat Daddy, I'm on the same lineup kind of thing. So it just took me like places that I never would have imagined. And just again, no thought process, you know what I mean? Just kind of very lucky. So it's like just an ADD creative brain. I'm like, I'll write that down, and just kind of just milked it.
And is music and comedy something that you're going to continue to mix in?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said before, so I think that this is the ADD era, and people like stuff that worked 15 years ago can still work, but it's not as marketable. And so I think that people, they just need stimulation and they need like dopamine hits, like social media, so they don't have attention span. So stuff like that, it hits your senses kind of thing. So even if you don't like it, you kind of react to it kind of thing. So I think that like I'm in the right place at the right time, you know what I mean? So I've just kind of drifted a bit, but I think that my style is like, if I did it 20 years ago, it wouldn't really go very well. But I think now people are just like, oh, catchy, catchy, catchy. You know what I mean? Like just feels good. Makes me stimulate. And like I said, because no one has an attention span, everyone's like scrolling all day, and they just, you know, like the dopamine hit from Facebook and Instagram. So people just want quick dopamine hits. You know what I mean? They just want to be stimulated. So my friend said that it hits your senses, like you kind of feel it. And even if you don't like it, you're like, oh, you react to it. You know, as long as they react to it, it's good. So sometimes like I did the gong and there'd be like split crowds. Yep. And there'd be like pro comics who have like, I've never seen a split crowd before. You know what I mean? But that's awesome because comedy's for everyone. So even if like a certain demographic doesn't like it, others do. So I think it's cool that I've split crowds before. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a... Like I said, people are like, this is weird because some people would put the plates up and they were like, no, leave them on. So it was like, gong. I had some great times on the gong as well. But it's just been, a very spontaneous journey kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Also with regards to music and comedy, mm-hmm. you mentioned to me before that you're going to release an album, is it?
Yeah.
And some video content.
Yes, so, finally, yeah. Yeah,
tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's going to be an album and it's going to be all these different characters. So it's going to be like me and then an Aussie hip hop parody and then like a country boy. And then I've got another character called Elf Boy. And,
yeah.
And it's going to be a song called Elf Boy's Picnic. And so it's going to be like these weird, like I said, I just think that nowadays, because obviously like a rapper would have like an album full of his, it's just the same guy. It's like, oh, this is my thoughts on this. You know what I mean? I was like, I just don't want to hear that. Not that it's bad, but I just, it doesn't stimulate me. So I just want to hear stuff that stimulates me. Like, I'm making it for myself, if anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the album is going to be called Weed's Worst Greatest Hits Volume 1. So hopefully there's going to be more. So it's just going to be like just all these different characters, yeah, just ADD in your face, and it's all catchy as well. And all of it is, again, like there wasn't much thought process. I just like hear the beat, and I'm like, my brain is like, write this down. I'm like, oh, cool. So it's just very like, so if someone likes it, I'm like, awesome. And if they don't like it, I can't take it personally, you know what I mean? Because it was just kind of like came from my brain. So it's going to be just very, very, like I said, just I think 2021, it's the ADD era. People just need stimulation and just craziness just to keep them invested, you know what I mean, kind of thing. So it's just going to be very, very, very off the rails kind of thing. Just, not much substance or a sizzle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true what you're saying. We are such an instant gratification mm-hmm. society these days.
Yep.
I reflect back on, back in the old days
yeah.
when, we used to have to wait a week to watch the next episode of a show.
Yep, yep.
And now we can binge watch. And I know that, we don't have to wait. So we haven't learned that patience. We haven't learned to, self-regulate like that.
No, not at all. And it makes us appreciate things as well if you kind of wait because you build up hype and stuff, don't you? Mm. I mean, you're like, oh, it's exciting. But again, there's just that feed me dopamine, feed me entertainment kind of thing. And that's just the way it's progressed, I guess, you know what I mean? Which is good. There's definitely good and bad. But I just think it's changed everyone. And it's given them ADD. So then, like I said, stuff that, there's a lot of it's like, like hip hop, for example, like lyricists are great and they're kind of, the multi-syllable lyricists are awesome. But then I don't think there's much of a market for that anymore because people just, they've heard it all before, but it doesn't really grab them as much. So I think that people, they need to be grabbed kind of thing and just given them, which is like with comedy, it's like, I love Kyle Legacy. He's a good friend, but I love him because it's very spontaneous and it's very ADD. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, it's just off the cuff and he's got like crazy energy. So it's very stimulating. And I think he's a good example of like the ADD era, just kind of like just constantly in your face and everything is just, he's like a real character in real life, as you know, but his stuff on stage is really funny and just kind of very, very stimulating. So I just think that the times have sort of changed. Social media has all kind of warped us, good or bad. And like I said, people just don't have the attention span to digest things anymore. They just like, hit me now. So I just think, I just want to give you all these different characters in terms of my music and comedy and stuff like that. So yeah, just a bit different really. Just changing with the times, I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ash, have you been diagnosed with ADD or is it something that just resonates with
you? Yeah, yes and no. Like I think doctors just tell everyone they have ADD, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah. So I did go to, my mom took me to the doctor because I could never really concentrate in school. I was always like tapping on stuff. So I probably do. I was always like playing with my ruler. People would be like, oh, it's Ash. And I'd be like tapping my pen, drumming and stuff like that. So probably do, definitely. Yeah, I'm probably like the poster boy of ADD kind of thing. So people are like, oh, you're ADD, but you're kind of mellow as well. It's like a weird mix.
Yeah, it's on the ADHD scale.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure, absolutely. But yeah, ever since I was younger, like, I never, like, my brain would entertain me. Like, I used to be in primary school, and like, people would be like walking into the assembly, and I'd give them all character names. Like, I was like, what the, I had like my own universe and my own brain, and everyone had a character name. So I've always, like, without trying, just like lived through my brain, you know what I mean? So I was like, oh, this is like entertaining me, maybe it'll entertain others kind of thing. So I'd definitely say an ADD-er, like an OG, because people are ADD now, but I was like ADD before social media.
Hey, and Ash, what does your comedy aim to express? Is there any, like, message that you'd like to
that's a good question out there? Well, it's funny enough, like, one of the only comedians I like is, have you heard of Bill Hicks? Yeah, I love him. Like, he's like one of the only ones I've ever really watched, and he I like it because he gets his point of view across, you know what I mean? So I would love to it used to be a bit thought-provoking, my old stuff, was now not so much. Honestly, it's just having a good time, having fun kind of thing. That's all it is, just out there. Yeah, no, it would look good to have a message, I guess. But the message is just good times and fun, you know what I mean? Like, I don't take myself too seriously. I'm just here for the fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just here for the good times, here for the rush. And, yeah.
I like that. It could be the, you know, give that instant hit of dopamine. Like, yeah. I'm the dopamine comedian.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's just the way it is. But there's, yeah, I definitely would love to evolve and have, like, have you heard of Damien Power?
No.
He's a Melbourne comic, but he's one of my favorites at the moment. He's just very, very thought-provoking. And that's what I'd like to do. That's what I want to be, in a way. I'd love to have these, like, well-written stuff. But as now, it's just an ADD entertainer kind of thing. You know what I mean? Just off-the-cuff kind of thing. And I want to do, I wanted to just bring characters on stage as well. Like, do different characters and stuff. So I'm going to hopefully this year do some new characters. And if it bombs, I'm
Hey, tell me more about the characters then. If you are doing a character, are you getting on as yourself, the way you are presenting to me now, looking like Ash?
Yeah.
Or are you going to have different costumes or wigs? Or
yes,
how
absolutely.
Are you going to present this?
Yeah, well, for the hard lad Shane, we'll call him, it's going to be full on Ishe kind of thing. So I've got like the polo shirt at home and like the little Nike shorts. So So I want to commit, like wear like some Nike Air shoes. You know what I mean? So really commit. So yeah, so I'd love to do that kind of stuff, but yeah, completely dressed different and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I've got Elf Boy as well, which maybe he'll get on stage as well. So I've got kind of these elf ears.
That's cool.
Yeah. So again, it's just stimulating, just madness. There's just nothing.
So you're going to take on their persona then?
Yeah.
Get on their stage and really become.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Just like a method actor. I think that's probably what I am. I reckon I'm just an actor that hasn't really done acting. You know what I mean? I think I'm just an actor. Deep down, I'm an actor who's doing entertainment, but I just kind of getting in these roles kind of thing. So yeah, no, I'd really love to commit and just have. It's tough though, because you have to. You know, you don't want to kind of bore the audience. So everything has to be, like I said, it's constantly stimulating. So I need to kind of figure out some stuff. But I really want to do the just parodies and stuff like that kind of thing. Yeah. Just keep it fresh. It's just basically, it's what I want to see. It's what I want to see kind of thing. So if people don't like it, that's fair enough. But
no, terms of character development, try to reach out to Bonnie and have a chat, you know, regarding Famous Sharon, because
she's
holy
awesome.
Holy crap. Yes. Amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, she's really good. And she's kind of, I mean, yeah, she's led the way in a way for that kind of thing. She's done great.
Yeah.
Her brother, I used to live on the same street as her brother, actually. Perth is so small, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, so I used to kind of, but she's great. She's kind of larger than life character, absolutely. And she's, again, just kind of, she's done it all, really. She's done like comedy, she's adverts, MC kind of thing. So no, she's a visionary kind of thing. Oh, so yeah, definitely.
Amazing woman. Yeah.
I never met her. I don't think I've met her. Maybe really? A character I didn't realize. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. But she'd be great for you to reach out and have that discussion about character development. And
yes, well, she is the OG, really, isn't she? Definitely. I should do. That's the thing I said. I'm not really like a great networker, you know what I mean? Like you have to be, because you can grow kind of thing. You talk to someone, you get so much information, but I'm just a bit like reclusive kind of thing. So, but I know that I'd definitely be a lot better performer if I was kind of talking to people. Whereas I never had I never really say like, oh, give me feedback. It was always just winged, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that like to kind of grow, you do have to kind of get, you know what I mean? So it's part of it.
I think you're right. When you get constructive criticism from someone, it's not taking it personally. It's going, okay, where can I improve? Where can I grow?
Yes.
I recently have engaged in Lazy Susan's comedy workshop.
Oh, good for you.
So
yes.
I'm doing that with Matt Storer.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
It is absolutely killer.
Oh,
and
I'd love to. Yeah, absolutely.
He's amazing.
He's ADD. He's an ADD entertainer for sure. His style is very ADD. I like
he's
him.
He's awesome. But I sitting in that course, I wanted to do it for two reasons. So obviously to expand on where I'm at, but I also wanted to do it so that I could say to people, look, go do this.
Yes.
I like to experience things before I recommend it.
Get a better understanding and stuff. Yeah.
And I had to miss last week, which was a bit of a shame. And next week I'm having to miss because my son's in a performance.
Oh, you're busy. Yeah, busy.
Yeah, busy mom. But yeah. Look, Matt's been great on, we've done stuff via email so that I can keep up with the course,
awesome.
Which is
great.
He's very accommodating. Mm. But what I've learned from it so far is, you know, if you are new entering into this scene, into the comedy scene, I mean, go do the course.
Yeah.
It's going to give you a leg up.
Absolutely.
And I think if you're stuck at that open mic level, go and do the course.
Absolutely. Well, you can never stop learning, right? Especially with something like comedy as well. It's always changing. But yeah, Matt would be a great guy because he's like a creative genius, you know what I mean? So he's very knowledgeable and he's kind of, you know, he can do a lot of stuff. So he'd be great to learn from in terms of like, because it is like crowd psychology, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like, people just think, like, I remember I used to have this boss and he'd be like, oh, I could do stand-up comedy. You know what I mean? He's like, and it's like, can you, like, go for it, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, go for it, dude. People just think, oh, but it's so crazy, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't, and the funny thing is, you can't phone it in, you know what I mean? Like, you just can't, like, it's like, you can't go through the motions. And one of the worst things is if you're in your own head, I reckon, like, when you're kind of like, this is actually happening right now, I'm on stage, and you just, like, it sucks. But one of the best things is, it's like, when you're feeling it, it's like, it's crazy. You have a connection with the crowd. It's very, like, gratifying, you know what I mean? It's like, it's like art. So it's really cool. It's such a, it's so much, like, it's so, yeah, so many levels of it kind of thing, and, like, crowd psychology, and, like, yeah, it really is, like, it's beautiful art form when it goes well, but then there's downsides if it doesn't go well kind of thing. But yeah, there's nothing like it really, you know what I mean? It's kind of pure.
I think when it doesn't go well, you still grow. You still learn. 100%,
absolutely. What did I go wrong kind of thing? And absolutely, it's always, and they always say there's people who are, like, professional who've been around for years, and they're always still learning, they're always still growing kind of thing. So it really is something that no matter how long you've done it for, there's always kind of things you'll learn and stuff like that. So it's just like I mean, I guess it's one of the oldest art forms, you know what I mean? Just purely, like, talking on the microphone and kind of expressing yourself in that way. So it's beautiful when it goes well. And like I said, if it doesn't go well, you can kind of learn from that and sort of progress. So it's always a learning game, but it's just,
I'm visualizing, you know, playing golf right now, because when you do that, I don't know if you've ever played golf.
Our
driving
ranges.
When you do that swing beautifully, it feels right through your body.
Yes.
When you get it wrong, you can pull your back out.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and that's even another thing as well. Like when you were like it's got to be a fluid motion, right? Whereas if you're in your head, you're like, I am swinging this golf club right now. It's kind of like you might not swing it because you're in your head, you know what I mean? So you have to be just in the motion, just like, yeah. It's like they say, go with the flow. Like, I heard this recently, go with the flow and overthinking kills the magic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to go really with. Cool. Yes. Because sometimes I'm like, in my head, like, you know, like, you have a breakdown in psychology, like, why is this happening? Like, what is that kind of thing? And it's like, who cares? You know what I mean? Just go with the flow sort of thing. So that's what I tell myself now, because I'm a bit reflective, probably you are too. So you can kind of overanalyze to the point of, yeah. So I think go with the flow is what I tell myself sometimes. Just go with the flow and be in the moment.
It's very similar to what I actually have. Bruce Lee's Be Water.
Oh, yeah.
And that for me is always remain fluid. Mm. And I love that. That's, it's really
absolutely just a free flowing kind of thing, and it's crazy. Again, it's like which makes it so much cooler as well, because you can't phone things in, you have to be, you know what I mean? So it's so special kind of thing. So when it does go well, it's like an out of body experience, I'd say, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, whoa, like, I just, like, that just happened, you know what I mean? That's when it's awesome, when you kind of, when you after a show, you're like, whoa, that was actually, like, this connection, and you're there, but you're just in the moment. It really is, like, it's Beautiful science behind it, right?
So true. Hey, what is what's a common myth that you've come across about being a comedian?
Probably that it's just easy. You know what I mean? Everyone, like I said, I just have people who are like, oh, I could do comedy, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's so hard. Like, it's just, because the thing is about comedy, it's like, it's not even the jokes, it's how you tell it, it's how your energy, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have, like, certain energy about you, I guess. So it's really, like, there's so many layers, you know what I mean? I think, like, it's just sort of, it's so much more than just, I'll tell these jokes and people will laugh. You know what I mean? You have to just, there's so many layers. So I think the common myth is just that it's easy, because it's not, you know what I mean? It's really, and a lot of people, especially the ones that are really, you know, like, they have spent, they've been, like, married to the game, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, there's so much to learn. So I think that it's just going out there talking, telling jokes, and it's easy as a myth, because it's just so hard. And, like, there's times when you're like, what went wrong? And you don't, you know what I mean? So it's absolutely just like it's like fascinating, you know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of layers, like I said, and it's just kind of, it's possible to master, I think, you know what I mean? There's some people who have mastered it, but it takes a long time, I reckon. So it's so much harder than it looks, I'd say. And then, like I said, the nerves before you go on stage are horrible sometimes, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I just feel sick. Sometimes, like, oh, I hope this show get cancelled, because I was, like, too anxious. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think, like, it's like a weird kind of, yeah, it's a weird process.
Ash, how do you overcome those nerves? Because I know through my own self that sometimes when you've got those big nerves, you project that back out into the audience, and then the audience comes back with that, and it's really easy to lose the audience when you're that nervous.
Yes.
So how do you beat it?
Well, I don't. it's still really scary. I think something that I always like to do is I close my eyes before I go on stage, so it's kind of like a reset kind of thing. Because if you're just like, oh, I'm backstage, and then hey, it's me, it's a bit tough. So I like to, when the MC's about to go on, I like to close my eyes and be like, and then open them again when they call your name. So I think for me, that's a good reset kind of thing. So, but yeah, the nerves are always tough. I think everybody gets nerves, which is crazy, which means you love it, I suppose. But yeah, it's really tough. Like, and especially when you're backstage and people pacing. I've seen some pacers backstage. Hey, like, yeah, nervous energy. But I think sometimes, which is good, the nervous energy turns into adrenaline. So sometimes you're just feeling like death. You're like, oh, I can't believe I'm gonna do this. And then you can get on stage and adrenaline takes over and you just kind of autopilot. So sometimes I think that the nervous energy turns to creative energy and just kind of, yeah. So it's I always feel vulnerable before going on stage. But yeah, it's like the payoff when it goes well, there's nothing like the payoff. You know what I mean? Like, wow. Like I said, sometimes I go afterwards, I'm like, whoa, that actually happened. You know what I mean? So I think, I think there's no way around it. You just have to go do it, really. You know what I mean? Just hope it goes well.
I love how that you are explaining this. When I don't know why I'm doing a lot of visualizations right now. So when I did zip lining, I'm scared of heights.
Me too. Yeah,
right?
I'm so bad with heights. Oh, don't get me started. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just visualizing. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I was really nervous doing that, and then I really had to talk myself into it. The team around me had to speak to me and talk me into it. Mm-hmm. But on that moment when I jumped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
takes over.
Yeah, it was good. Absolutely, and you do get that rush. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Another good quote is nothing ever grows in your comfort zone, which is a great one as well because it's so true. Because everything you ever do that is worth doing, you get nervous, like a date or comedy, you get the nerves kind of thing. Whereas if you don't have nerves before it, it's like what are you doing? You know what I mean? It's like it's not really. You know what I mean? So I think it's sort of like the risk and the reward is pretty good. But yeah, it's like a. Yeah, it's nothing like it, I think, you know what I mean? So it's sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate heights as well, by the way. Like, I go to the city sometimes, and there's like, you know, Maya, the toilet's on the top floor. I used to work at Maya as a Santa Claus, so I used to go to the top floor. Yeah, yeah, Santa Claus, Maya, I used to love that. So I had to go to the top floor, and I hate going on heights kind of thing. So I'm the same about heights, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's full, yeah. Still. I've been doing some CBT training, and one of the things in questioning that they ask is, you know, what about your phobias? And I laugh every time she asks the question, and I go, I don't know why you keep asking this. My phobias are never going to change.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I just accept that, you know, that's part of it. And she said, well, you know, do you think that it impacts you? And I said, no, I think it impacts everyone else around me more than me.
Because they feel it kind of thing? Yeah.
Well, because I've ran off. Like, oh, there's a spider. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Oh, do you hate spiders as well?
Oh, spiders, bugs, you know.
Yeah. I'm a bit weird about this. But yeah, for me, it's just heights. Like, absolutely just, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's just like real scary kind of thing. So, yeah. I swear with heights, you never get over it. Do you really just have to go with it?
I had a fall when I was four and broke my arm in three places. I fell off a slide.
Oh, but wow.
I have done skydiving and
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I would never even think about that. Yeah, I did a zipline once, but that was about it.
I keep doing these things as much as it puts me in this state. And I just accept now I'm never going to get rid of that state, but I will keep trying to beat it because I do think that's there is awesome. A psychology behind
it. Oh, yes. Face your fears, as they say. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's awesome that you've done skydiving and you hate heights because, I, like I said, the escalators in Maya is, for me, that's like skydiving, you know what I mean? But, yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably part of life is, like, face your fears, overcome them, you know what I mean? Like, there's people who always say that, like, oh, you know, like the meaning of life is to give it your all and give it your best. And yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that probably is. It's probably like so much stuff we're meant to do and face your fears, get out of your comfort zone. Is probably
I love
so
that you said overcome them. I accept I'm never going to overcome them.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, maybe not overcome them, but face them at least kind of thing and go with them kind of thing. But yeah, no, that's very admirable to do skydiving and stuff like that if you hate heights because that would be so scary going up in the airplane. Hey, you'd be like, oh man, did you think about just saying no? Or you like, I'm going to do it kind of thing?
Right,
like,
because you strapped yourself. And I wanted to close my eyes and I did to begin with and I wanted to scream and then I like listening to my inner self. My inner self said, you know, my inner voice said, open your eyes.
Oh, wow.
And
face it.
And don't. And I don't know, I went to scream, but the rush going through your ears is so, and like it's a loud screaming noise anyway, the wind.
Only imagine. Yeah.
Sorry. I opened my eyes and we were like falling through a cloud and basically it was exhilaration.
Oh wow.
It was the most beautiful, amazing view and I just stopped and just looked and I thought, oh wow, I would have missed this if I kept my eyes closed.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah, that's, and I suppose when you, as you're falling, it's like a, like maybe like kind of spiritually like, oh man, this is the planet Earth and we are one, you know what I mean? Yeah. That I didn't want to get. But yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably, like I said, maybe not overcome your fears, but facing your fears is awesome. Just doing stuff which is out of your comfort zone, which is why comedy is really good because, like I said, everyone's nervous beforehand. So every time you do that, you're kind of are facing your fears. And yeah, so it's like the meaning of life could be part of it. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's lots of meaning of life, but that could be one of them kind of thing.
Yeah. Where to now in your comedy journey? I know you're going to do your EP.
Yeah. So I think that that as much as I like live stuff, I think I'd like to focus a lot on audio and visual kind of thing, because it's also like it's easier to get it out there as well kind of thing. So I think as much as I love The Rush and I want to do it like forever, I'm really going to concentrate on like releasing an EP and videos. So I've been working with a guy called Jane. He's called Jay, but his productions is called Jane Av Productions. So we've been filming a few videos. So in probably like September, October, we'll have a released one. So that's kind of, I'm really passionate about that kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's sort of like what I enjoy doing. So I think I always like getting on stage and The Rush, but I'm a little bit more passionate about kind of character videos and audio stuff like that. You know what I mean? Cause I love like music. I really am very passionate. So I like, if someone said, oh, you know, if you had to have one thing, it'd be music kind of thing. Like I vibe with it kind of thing. So I'm really passionate about that. And I think also, yeah, I think with the internet as well, you can kind of, it's easy to get out there. I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition as well, but yeah, but my heart is like, oh, I really want to kind of just make some crazy songs and some videos. So I'm going to have like, I've got this song called Bottle Do. It's like a country song. So I want to do like a video for Bottle Do, just like a cowboy, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's pretty out there, but it's just kind of like, that's what I really, my heart wants to do that, and a bit of acting as well. So it's kind of, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean? So I had some awesome times and I'll always be around, but I sort of lean a bit towards that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds really cool, though. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's just, yeah, I guess it's about, you know, just entertainment and ADD era. Like I said, I think if I was who I was 20 years ago, it would have been a bit tougher. But I just think there's like a market for that kind of weird niche, you know, kind of cooked. It's like, you know, I haven't actually watched it, but there's a thing that everyone likes called Auntie Donna's Boys, I think. It's like these skits. And my friend was telling me about it. It's like Tim and Eric. But for this era, that's perfect. And have you heard of Tom Cardi?
No.
Oh, he's awesome. He's like a Triple J presenter, but he makes comedy songs. You should look him up.
Oh,
and he's
cool.
And his stuff nowadays, I'm like, dude, this is like so relevant. He's getting really big. He's got like, and
he's not the one that's on the COVID stuff, is he? With the different states. No, it's
no,
not.
No, he's like a Sydney hipster guy kind of thing. But he's got like, he does these different characters, and he's got a song called Businessman. He's just like a businessman. And every single, like, if you watch his videos, every 2 or 3 seconds, there's a different cut. It's
very cool.
Yeah. And he does all, he's got songs called Mixed Messages, and it's just, it's really funny. But he is somebody who I reckon is ADD era kind of thing. It's very, yeah, I recommend Tom Cardi. He's like a big, he's become a big inspiration. But it sucks because I was saying a few years, I'm like, oh, you know, I wish I'd worked harder because his stuff was what I was going for. But he's got a great, he's like banging out the stuff. And I'm like, oh, sitting on stuff for years. So I'm like, oh, he's kind of come in there and good for him. But yeah, Tom Cardi is, I reckon, just for this era, like very, just every song is different. It's very catchy, character based. So I reckon that's kind of like, I'm interested in that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I think again, for how entertainment is ingested and how everyone's minds are, that's what people want. They want just kind of, yeah, just easy to get into, catchy, stimulating kind of thing. So that's what I'm passionate about kind of thing. Yeah. So I'd like to do just crazy kind of comedy songs and characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Who is your favorite character, fictional character, I should ask?
Of mine or anyone else kind of thing?
Of yours.
Good question. I really like I really like Hard Lad Shane. You know, it's kind of funny. And again, it's like I just heard the instrumental and started singing it. You know, because like Ishays are really big nowadays. You know what I mean? Like they're kind of like the what? You know what I mean? Like kind of that kind of culture. So that's sort of a passionate one I like kind of thing. So yeah. And again, I was meant to put it out years ago, and my friends are all like, "This is awesome, dude!" But I just like, it's tough to, you know, get active and get things going. You know what I mean? So I have all these ideas, but then a lot of them aren't really projected. So it's tough. Yeah. Like my wrestling trainer, he's a good guy. He's a good wrestler. But he once said to me, he's like, "Man, you're the kind of stoner that has all these ideas, but nothing gets done." Mm. And I'm like, "Man, that's so me." So like, I think about that every day now. I'm like, he called me out in a good way. So I don't want to be like just someone who's sitting on the stuff. It needs to be out there. You know what I mean? And like, I showed my friends that, and they're like, "Dude, this is awesome." And then like, next thing I know, like 2 years have gone by and I've done nothing. You know, nothing's released. So I really like, I believe in it kind of thing, and I just want to get it out there. So it's kind of like, I believe I can have the creative ability, but I just need to get a better work ethic. You know what I mean? And it's tough. I've never been like a hustler.
Ash, with each of your characters, have you done like a little bio for them and a little like, do you know their age? Do you know
good question.
All
no.
that sort of stuff?
No, nothing really. I need to kind of really dial into who they are.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Like, who is this guy?
I think if you can find who they are, that will just help develop them even more.
Absolutely. I need to. Yeah, again, it's all kind of like I was blessed to just like, it just came to me. I was like, this is cool. And then I'd show it to someone like, this is really cool. So I'm like, oh, this is, it was, you know, like it's like not even an imposter syndrome. And I'm like, I can't really believe it sometimes. I'm like, I didn't really try for this. You guys like it. So, yeah, I definitely need to go back to the drawing board and be like, you know, really get behind each character and who is who. But again, it's just kind of, it's about being really motivated. You know what I mean? It's never been my strong suit. But maybe I will get more motivated soon. Like I said, I don't want to just sit on this stuff for years like I have. You know what I mean? Like I was meant to put some stuff out in 2019 and nothing's out. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, yeah, I need to kind of, I believe in the projects,
yeah,
but I need to sort of put some work ethic into them and not just be like, oh, you know, show my friends and nothing gets out because I might die one day. Oh, we'll all die. But maybe I might hit by a car and I'm like, oh man, nothing was ever released. Like, who, you know what I mean? So I really believe in the projects, but I just kind of like, in terms of like getting it out there has always been tough for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be the stoner that has ideas and does nothing with them, which is who I am right now in a way, kind of thing. So I've done a little bit release, but nothing, nobody's seen, like only my close friends have seen and heard a lot of the stuff. So I need to kind of get it out there.
Mm. Ash, in your personal life and all through your journey,
yep,
has there ever been something that's been a great challenge and helped to shape who you are? And
that's a good question. Honestly, I'm a real chill dude in a way. So I think I've never really put myself out of my comfort zone that much. So I've never, honestly, I don't think so, actually, which is probably bad, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like I haven't really grown as a person for a few years, you know what I mean? I'm like, what have I really done? But yeah, honestly, unfortunately, no, which is probably part of, like, being lazy as well, which is, I am a bit lazy, so you don't really, you know, you just kind of feel like, oh, this is a challenge, whatever. So you turn your back on it kind of thing. So, no, nothing too much, unfortunately, which
why
is...
Why are you saying you turn your back on challenge? I'm not really seeing that with you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true as well, but no, kind of. That's a good question, though. I probably need to do some soul searching.
Or not.
But no. Yeah, but no, nothing. I suppose just like it's just been challenging to, you know, like, I mean, comedy's been challenging the last few years, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, this is getting up there and, you know, because sometimes I take time off and I'm just like, oh, damn, like 6 months went by, you know what I mean? Or a few months went by. So I think one of my biggest challenging is staying focused. That's my biggest challenge, actually. Yeah. Probably. This is great. I'm learning for myself. But yeah. Probably just like I need to, that's like, and deep down I'm like, man, you need to focus, dude. And I'll tell myself this. And then 3 months have gone by and I just haven't, you know, been, so I'm really just like trying to stay on top of things and just, which yeah. I am, like I said, I'm doing a video and there's some stuff coming out soon. So hopefully this is like the upswing of motivation and kind of productivity, which has always been a real, I believe in my abilities, but I don't believe in my work ethic sometimes, which is not great. You know what I mean?
It's good sometimes, Ash, to have, you know, that practice. And when I say practice, I mean like a routine and you have that regular,
yep,
okay, this is my structure and this I'm talking, you know, strategies here to cope with ADD.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you need to definitely in some kind of at least a game plan, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know people and they have like a whiteboard in the room and like a vision board and like, this is me.
I've got my vision board.
Yeah, I'd love to have one. Yeah, again, I'm too lazy to get I'm trying to find the motivation, but I'm not motivated. Yeah. You know, it's like a double kind of negative. So yeah, I think like that would help me. So I am actually kind of in the process of sort of brainstorming and visualizing, you know, cause it's just about having a game plan, isn't it? Like, where do I want to be? And that's my thing. I've always been like a bit of a drifter, like which is good and bad, but I've always been like just sort of just going with the flow and just like chill. And just like I said, it worked for a few years because things did come to me. I was like, "Whoa, this is awesome!" But then after a while, I think you can only coast for so long. And then it's like my Bumfield always tells me, he's like, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, definitely." So I think yeah, I feel like that is, you know, you got to be well-rounded and you got to have the work ethic and the ability. So I just really need to sort of get on top of things and just take things. I don't take anything seriously, you know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah, whatever, dude. And then, but now I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I dropped off a bit and I'd like to get back where I was. So I never really was a big visionary and I need to have more goal orientated and have like stuff to work towards. Whereas drifting worked for years, I'm seeing the negative sides of being a drifter sometimes, you know what I mean?
I like what your friend actually said to you, because I always say to my kids, you know, you can be good at anything as long as you apply yourself and you work towards it.
Absolutely.
You know, work if you, ethic, yeah, yes. And it's that, you know, regular. And one of my kids was playing guitar at some stage, but he never practiced. And I said, you don't practice, you're not going to improve in this. You're not going to get better. You know, but, you know, you don't just do something once and go, oh, I'm brilliant at this. No. I'm like a superstar. It doesn't happen that way.
No, and that's the thing I got, because I did have a bit of, I did kind of well sometimes early on. So I think I got in the routine of like, oh, I can just coast forever. But yeah, it's true. You have to be like, I think it's like, they always say it's 10,000 hours to master an art form.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, I haven't spent an hour. You know what I mean? Honestly. So I'm like, oh, so you can kind of, it worked well, but then I've seen the negative effects of what happens when you don't have goals and you are drifting, and it's a bit of a downside sometimes. So definitely keeping on top of things is always good as well. You know what I mean? So work ethic and just focus, motivation is what I need to work on, I think.
Yeah. As we are coming very close to ending this, is there anything else that you wanted to share with people listening today?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for, I mean, yeah, some people have been supportive. I really appreciate that. You know what I mean? I've had some, like, I always think that, like my time in the Perth comedy scene, it made me a boy to a man. Yeah. Mm. I'm like, oh man, like I'm so thankful. Like, it gave me like skills and confidence and ability and self-worth as well. So I'm always like, man, I'm so thankful for the Perth comedy scene. I've been like a lot of supportive bookers and supportive crowds, supportive comics. So I'm just so thankful for my time there. You know what I mean? Like, it really helped me. And, I'd like to give back more, you know what I mean? Rather than just take. I'd like to really apply myself and kind of, that's it. So I suppose in regards to the Perth comedy scene, I'm just thankful for my time. And I'm just, like I said, I really credit it with helping me grow as a person and just really give me some of the best experiences of my life were there. Absolutely.
That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's just, sometimes I'm like, wow. So I've been reflective recently in a way. So I was like, oh wow, this was like such a, you know, it's been such a great time, but it's such a character building process. You know what I mean? So I'm so thankful. It taught me more than school ever did. My parents, you know what I mean? Like, this was, they raised me in a way. It was fine. So I'm always thankful. And, you know, it's like, it's a great scene. You know, you're awesome as well. And everyone is. So I'm really lucky. And I just like to kind of give back rather than, I've taken a lot and never really, you know what I mean? So I just like to sort of, have more of a creative process and that kind of stuff.
That's really cool. Mm. Where can people find you on your socials?
On Instagram, Weedsworth420. That's me. So that's kind of it. I'm going to be having like a new page soon, but that's just my personal stuff. But I'm definitely looking at getting better at social media and networking and stuff like that, and kind of, because it's obviously you can use it to your advantage. So I'm really looking to try and just take that more seriously, just turn it up a level, you know what I mean? Rather than just, oh, whatever, dude, which has worked for a while, but now the whatever, dude, it's not really working as, you know, it hasn't worked as well. So just definitely apply myself and kind of, social media wise in every way.
Yeah, definitely. And NY Events has many different comedies coming up. We've got one on the 6th at the Hurdy, and we've got a few others. We've also got the Korean and one at Kalamunda, which is predominantly supporting our local dads, basically. The Fathering Project.
And there's some awesome father comics in Perth as well, isn't there?
Yeah, our local Fathering Project contacted us and said, look, you know, can you do something for us? And we went, yeah, of course we can.
Which awesome.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Ash, this is Ash Woodward and Yvonne Fletcher. And Ash, I want to say thank you so very much for joining us today.
Had a great time. Thank you for having me.
It's great. It went really fast, didn't it?
Yeah.
thanks to everyone for listening in, and we'll chat to everyone soon.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Off. Bye.